you suffer from female issues, painful menstrual cycles, fibroids, or premenopausal symptoms? Try a combination of herbs European women have used with success for hundreds of years. Tammy Hill.
Sydney, I wanted to... there we are. We've got a clear channel, so we probably can... We'll be on the ISDN along with you here. Anyway, before we did, I certainly wanted to talk about the amazing facts that we have, just gotten, and that is that for years, the government, the federal government, the President of the United States has insisted that Iran is trying to build a nuclear bomb. And that's why they're doing what they're doing. And then, about 48 hours ago, all 16 of our intelligence agencies, the CIA, the FBI, the NSA, the military intelligence, and there are all these alphabet organizations out there, they announced that they all agreed that Iran isn't trying to build a nuclear bomb. You mean to tell me that all this time the administration had no idea that what they were telling the American people wasn't true? And you know, you go back and you read 1984, and Charlotte sends me emails all the time with quotations from George Orwell's wonderful book, 1984. But the way that they were able to convince the people of these various controlled societies that something was true one day and the next day it suddenly wasn't true. And one day they were their ally had suddenly became their enemy, and without even, you know, as much as a hiccup, everybody went right along with it. So last week, Iran was trying to build a nuclear bomb. This week, they're not trying to build a nuclear bomb. I mean, how could it, the entire administration, which has been threatening war with Iran, have been wrong all this time? Well, ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand the media is controlled. George Bush is simply a puppet. We're living in 1984 revisited. And with that as a background, let's get your thoughts.
Well, Dr. Stan, mine are exactly the same as yours, and I'm just looking on the Internet right now for the neocons, you know, are not happy with this, and they've come up with this article by Ken Timmerman, which is at Newsmax.com, saying the United States intelligence possibly duped by Iran, and they're saying that it's probably not true, and it goes on and on and on. So we can get ready now for the huge assault from the neoconservatives who support George Bush's imperial policies all over the world, to say that this report that came out, which I personally believe is probably true, is not true. Have you seen that, Dr. Stan?
No, I haven't. But, of course, Timmerman is certainly one of the neocons, and right. Newsmax is certainly one of their outlets. And
yep.
People have to understand that there are these various forces that work within our society, and there are many people who have been wanting to involve us in war with Iran for a long period of time. They don't care how many hundreds of thousands of people suffer and die.
No.
They have their own agenda.
No,
and
the
news that suddenly they would come out, and after all this time, they would say, "Oh shucks, we were all wrong." And then, of course, the neocons said, "Well, they've deceived our $40 billion a year intelligence apparatus, and we know what the truth is. Iran is an enemy, and we've got to attack them." We'll be back in just a moment with Charlotte.
As the old saying goes, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you give him a Berkey system, you give him the ability to obtain purified water for a lifetime. This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget. And more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get a discount, but in one stop, you can get gifts for the entire family. That's BerkeyWater.com or call 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Have you ever thought about what's in your shampoo, soap, or detergent? How about chlorides, dyes, ethanol, sulfates, sodium, formaldehydes, and more? Even fragrance can indicate the presence of some 4,000 separate ingredients, most of which are synthetic. Hi, this is Alex Jones. I was shocked when I discovered I could be inhaling these additives that can lead to coughing, wheezing, and shortness of breath, headaches, nausea, irritation of the skin, and mucous membranes. Now compare Calben Pure Soap. All natural, earth-friendly, no harsh chemicals, no animal testing. They're safe, and you save 85% of the money you're spending on cleaning products now. Start saving over $1,000 a year for your family of four. Keep it natural. Call Calben Pure Soap for a free catalog at 1-800-340-7091 or log on to 5starsoap.com. Try Calben Pure Soaps, and I'll bet you'll never use any other cleaning products again. Call 1-800-340-7091 for all your cleaning needs.
Dan here at the Tennessee Communication Network. Our guest this afternoon is Charlotte Isabey. And we're simply showing you that they've been lying to us consistently. I mean, if you go back 3 or 4 years and you find out the CIA was saying there is no imminent threat from Iran. So what is this really all about? Well, you had the Israel lobby. You had, DEPCO, which is a front for the Mossad. Everyone's telling us that the Iranians are ready to bomb Israel at any time using nuclear weapons. And there's certainly Ahmadinejad. If you go into the background of Ahmadinejad, why he came from the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. Who is the Iranian Revolutionary Guard? Why, it's the organization that was the Shah's secret police. We trained the Shah's secret police in all sorts of brutal means, and that was what turned the Iranian public largely against the Shah. Then we brought in the Ayatollahs, and of course the Ayatollahs then picked up the organization we had trained, the Shah's secret police, and called them the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. And where did Ahmadinejad come from? This man who keeps making all these absurd statements to inflame the world, why he came from the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. He looks like he's a caricature they picked up at at some sort of an actor school in Hoboken, New York, and trained him and gave him a little beard and a little coat and sent him over there to inflame things so they could justify having a war. There are people who want wars, because wars are not really fought to defeat the enemy. Wars are fought to control our population. And with each war, the First World War, the Second World War, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and then, of course, more recently, the present war that we're having in Iraq, all sorts of new rules and regulations and controls, and spying on the American people so that Osama bin Laden can't take away our freedom. Well, Charlotte, go ahead and you pick up the story, because I know you've got lots of thoughts about what's going on. You got lots of thoughts on the upcoming presidential election and the fact that we really do have a unique opportunity, the best opportunity I can remember since 1964. But you start talking.
Well, it's true. I think that we are blessed, truly blessed, to have one candidate. That we have one is a miracle, Ron Paul. Neither party has a candidate like Ron Paul. probably never will. And as my husband and I were talking about it today, and we said that I watched him on this women's show or something this morning. I don't know if you saw it on ABC, and they tried to nail him on abortion and on China. Interestingly enough, those were, and on immigration, and he did extremely well. And I was talking to my husband about it because they were loaded questions, and my husband just said to me, well, he does well because it's no problem for him to tell the truth.
Right.
And he is the truth candidate. And really, the bumper sticker should be just, Ron tells the truth. And that makes it very easy for him. He doesn't have to hum and haw and figure out a big lie, which is, excuse me, certainly the majority of them. Maybe there are 10 or 20 that don't all the time, but in the Congress, but they lie. And anything to get around, anything to get reelected, and so we've actually, can you imagine our having a candidate that just doesn't have to, when he gets asked a question, he just tells the truth, and his record is there, so anybody can go look at his record in the Congress and find out that that is the truth. That's what he's doing. He tells the truth every single time. And so he doesn't get upset, and so he keeps quite calm, and he's a very attractive man. It's just a godsend that he's there. This has very, very little to do with Ron Paul, because they're just total opposites. He tells the truth, and she doesn't. But, you know, Imus is back now. I've never been a great fan of Imus's, but he is quite well known. Imus in the morning. He's our East Coast, quite brilliant, blabbermouth. And I think it's fascinating, Stan, how he is getting away with calling Hillary Clinton satanic. How does
he get
away with that?
Well, I would agree with him. I believe that anybody who's ever studied her career realizes, of course, there are powerful spiritual forces behind both her and Bill Clinton.
Yeah, but how could he get away with that? I think I'm really pleased he's I understand right here, it says that he did it 11 times or something. He just keeps calling her satanic.
All right,
And 11 times. I mean, really, on Imus in the morning, Don Imus referred to Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton as Satan 11 times.
Well,
calling her, quote, that buck-tooth witch, Satan.
Well, I had a friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, who was an investigative reporter, and she was going to write a letter, write an article about witchcraft in the White House when Hillary was there. And she was told by several highly placed people that if she did that, if she wrote that story, it would cost her life. So she didn't write it. But she had all the documentation about the witchcraft that was going on in the White House when Hillary was there. And we even have a video that was shot right after Bill Clinton's first election, you know, where the lesbians and the gays were out there on the lawn there and in front of the White House or in a park close by.
Right.
And one of the lesbian leaders got up and said, you know, we have it on solid evidence and solid reporting that Hillary had an affair with one of us when she was in college.
I'm not at all surprised, and I know of a very important incident. I don't want to mention the author, but he's extremely well known in all circles, Catholic, and you probably know who I'm talking about, attended a he died about a few years ago, attended a function in Washington, one of those great big fancy functions, and Hillary was there, and this gentleman is performs exorcisms. He's well known in it, and that was always something that he did, and he said to a friend of mine's son who was studying to be a priest that when he went in the room where she was, he knew immediately it was just...
Was this man a priest himself?
Yes.
All right. Well, then, we know this would be Father Malachi.
Right. Yeah. This story, I mean, it's a story that was told me, but I believe it's true. He didn't tell it to me directly, but that was a young man who was studying for the priesthood, I believe, and he told it to him, and the young man told it to his mother. So what we're dealing with here is really Mr. Good and Mrs. Evil.
Sure.
Right? I mean, those are two candidates that are clearly, able to be identified for what they are. The other ones are all, they're just, change from one position one day to another one the next day, semantic deception, all that. Who has any idea what any of them believe in? Because they've changed their positions not just during this election campaign, but through the years. And it's on the record because most of them, certainly in the Democratic Party, I believe, and in the Republican Party, aren't most of them elected officials? Yes. Are they all? No, yeah. I think they're all members of Congress or the Senate.
Or Governor Romney, of course, and then Mayor Giuliani.
Okay. So, their record is there, and we can check it out, and I wish people would. It's not difficult anymore with the Internet. You can find out anything at all you want. But God bless Ron Paul. I will hope everybody will get behind him, no matter how little a contribution they can make. Maybe it's going to be in helping out as a volunteer, or I think he definitely needs help financially, because it's not next month that he needs it. He needs it now to pay the media bills.
And, of course, I think it's so interesting that a fair number of people are actually quitting their jobs and moving to New Hampshire, so that they can actually be out working in the precincts to get people behind Ron Paul. And, of course, New Hampshire is traditionally a very, very conservative state. And the fact that there are people who have just given up their jobs to go there work full-time to get Ron Paul's name out, because the media is going to do everything they can either to ignore him or to vindicate, to demonize him and make all these ridiculous statements, how he's a Don Quixote and, how he is, potentially a racist and on all of these things. Why? Because they hate him, because he believes in the Constitution.
Yeah,
and there's not one of those other candidates
who does. Obviously they don't. I mean, it's the fact that they're all going after him this way, including, which really made me very sad, the union leader, the Manchester union leader, that's no longer what it used to be, came out for McCain, didn't it? Did not come out for Ron Paul. I mean, really. And that was the one newspaper in the country at one time that we could, major media, right, that we could always depend on. So they're out to get him, and but he seems to be bucking the winds, and he's got the tiller, and he's holding tight. And we've all got to, you're doing your best for him. I'm doing my best, my limited best, and a lot of the young people, I think, are going for him, the ones on the Internet. And I believe that when Barry Goldwater Jr. Came out in favor of Ron Paul, supporting Ron Paul, that was terribly important, Stan. The reason I feel that way is that most of the Americans, Republicans, who are over 60 years old are not on the Internet. And a lot of them are retired, and many of them who have enough money to do so are on the golf courses, and they're not on the Internet. They're listening to CBS, NBC at night, and they've never heard of Ron Paul.
Isn't that a shame?
So when Barry Goldwater Jr. made it onto the major media, all of a sudden they heard this, who is this guy? Ron Paul. And of course, if Barry Goldwater Jr. supports him, they probably will start thinking.
That's all we can do, is try to get him thinking. And ladies and gentlemen, that's up to you out there. You can make up flyers, you can pass them out at theaters, you can pass them out at meetings, you can pass them out on the street corner. Don't be afraid. Get involved. This is the greatest opportunity we've had since the Barry Goldwater ran in 1964 to take America back. We're going to be back and welcome your calls.
Ted Anderson from Midas, December 4th, 2007, gold, 800-ounce gold coins, be purchased for $824.16, $406.20 for half, $203.10 for quarter. That's $824.16, $406.20, $203.10. The Chinese government has begun a campaign of economic threats against the U.S., hinting liquidation of its vast holdings of U.S. treasuries, responding to Washington's trade sanctions, forcing the Yuan Revolution. Communist Party bodies are warning that Beijing may use its $1.33 trillion reserves as a political weapon, causing bond yields to spike, hammering the U.S. housing market and throwing the economy into a recession. Russia, Switzerland, and several other countries have reduced their holdings due to this threat. Economist Ambrose Evans Pritchard published the report, China Threatens Nuclear Option of Dollar Sales. Call for the report today, 800-686-2237. The value of your hard-earned money is being lost in a global game of chess. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteef spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteef exposes the movement behind Rhodes scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, trucks stop running and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Charlotte Isabey. Our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791 if you have a question or comment. But I think Charlotte is right on. This is one of the most exciting things. And what they've done is they're moving all of the state primaries up to as close to January and February as they can, because they don't want the American people to have the time to hear about this congressman who's talking about the Constitution, about how we have to follow the Constitution, how we should be non-interventionist, not isolationist, but non-interventionist, and not trying to go to war with other countries who, for one reason or another, we simply want to attack. He wants to do away with the Federal Reserve System and get back to a solid currency before the value of everybody's savings and pensions and CDs and annuities are simply, and insurance policies are simply destroyed. He wants to get, you know, do away with the Internal Revenue Service, which is certainly totally unnecessary. We did not need the IRS Oh, we are, of course, getting all sorts of money that now we can give to dictators throughout the world and buy munitions for countries throughout the world so they can use it to kill their people. It's time that America got back to what it should be, and that is an independent nation, friends with all, but certainly not allied with any. We do not need an American empire. We do not want an American empire. We do not want a one world order. We do not want a North American Union. The American people are solidly behind the things that Congressman Ron Paul believes in. It's just that most of them are not allowed to hear about them because the major media is controlled by one of five mega corporations. And if you want to document that, you can go to your store and order a copy of a book called The New Media Monopoly by Professor Ben Bekdakian, who's been studying this for the better part of 25 years, since the early 1980s. Understand that the media is able to delete any mention of Ron Paul or try to make him look ridiculous, that our minds are molded, our ideas are suggested, our thoughts are created largely by men we have never heard of. And if you care about this country, you get on the telephone, you start the printing up little flyers and pushing Ron Paul's candidacy. Time is running out. The decision will probably be made by March who the Republican candidate is. And if it's not Ron Paul, then you're not going to have a choice in November of next year. Go ahead, Charlotte.
Well, you know, Dr. Stan, I think that one fact here is just vitally important for your listeners to have it if they haven't got it already. In regard to the war in Iraq and Ron Paul's position, which is so sound, and of course his position would be that way no matter what war because he doesn't believe in foreign entanglements, and he knows that the Constitution does not allow us to go out and do all these excursions that cost trillions of dollars and got us in a major economic mess. But the very important point right here, and I think he did make it during the debate, thank heavens, he's quick on his feet, the fact that he has raised more money for his campaign from people in the military than any other candidate in either party tells you something very, very important, that the military is opposed. A lot of the military is really opposed to this wretched war. And this is so important to get that information out to your friends. Why would he be the one candidate who has received more money from members of the military for his campaign unless the military supports him?
And, of course, what he wants to do is get our troops out of Iraq and out of Afghanistan where they don't belong. They never should have gone in the first place.
That's right, and you know you'll hear people like John McCain. It was just shocking. Well, he did himself in, I think. Although I guess he didn't. When you have, I think it's the Manchester Union leader is supporting him. I believe that's who they're out to support. But it's just absolutely amazing that they can get away with the lies and bad mouthing and calling all of us we're the terrorists. I mean, that one appearance, you know, with Glenn Beck, the horrible Glenn Beck, the neocon talk show guy, when he had David Horowitz in, unbelievable what they said about all of us. That we are the domestic enemies. We, conservatives, true conservatives, are the anti-war left. Going after Lou Rockwell, going after anyone who doesn't agree with George Bush's neocon position. Unbelievable what Horowitz had to say. I mean, he's a neocon, ex-Marxist.
Yeah,
how many people know? I think your people, whenever I'm on your show, I hesitate to say, to try to tell anybody anything, because your listeners are so well-informed, they probably could tell me a lot. But we've got to wake up to the dangers involved in listening.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back with Charlotte Isabel.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Blackbird keep purification elements are more powerful than any gravity filter element on the market. These awesome elements are used in Berkey purification systems, and they can also be used to upgrade most other gravity filtration systems. They can purify raw, untreated water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, trihalomethanes, and chemicals such as chlorine, atrazine, styrene, and MTBE. These elements also reduce unwanted heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum. Unbelievably, they even remove small microparticulate from water like food coloring particles. Yet, they leave in the nutritional minerals that your body needs. Moreover, because they are recleanable, Black Berkey elements are more economical than the standard disposable elements, providing fresh, pure water for less than 2 cents per gallon.
Get a two-pack for only $99 or a four-pack for only $188 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Hi, I'm Bobby Lajos with today's Car Clinic Minute. All for One may be about musketeers, but if musketeers or mouseketeers or engineers travel together on the ground, I'll tell you about their One for All when I come back.
I'm Bobby Lajos, and I've discovered a fountain of youth for cars. One reason our cars get old before their time is the same thing that keeps them going. Fuel. The carbon deposits left by fuel burned in your engine can choke off its air in fuel mixture, reducing efficiency. The BG Fuel Service removes harmful carbon buildup, dramatically improves power and mileage, and includes BG44K to treat the entire fuel system. To learn more, go to BGFindTheShop.com.
BG.
The Three Musketeers may have been all for one, but the mighty bus, a multi-country engineering feat, is the one for all. Short for omnibus, which means for all in Latin, the first bus appeared in Paris in 1662. This eight-seater was horse-drawn, and not until 1831 would steam-driven buses putter around the streets of London. Speaking of which, the first famous double-decker appeared in 1847 and offered half fares to those who climbed onto the open-air second deck. Honors for the first gas-driven motor bus go to Germany in 1895. But today, the omnibus is omnipresent, providing rides for all over the world. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Are rising gas prices flattening your wallet? Try Royal Purple High Performance Motor Oil.
What? How's that?
Yes, independent tests by respected universities show Royal Purple reduces fuel consumption by as much as 5%. That means Royal Purple can deliver better gas mileage for a fatter wallet. Go to RoyalPurple.com for details. That's Royal Purple, the high-performance motor oil that outperforms.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Charlotte Isabel. And Charlotte's out on the front lines of this. Now, we do carry Charlotte's book, Deliberately Dumbed Down, and it's the story of... What's the exact title? I know we carry it.
It's
the Dumbing Down of America.
The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America.
Right. We carry the book. We think it's important. Charlotte has a web page. She has posted there the entire text of the Reese Committee report. We carry a book on that, but you can actually read the entire text of the Reese Committee report, which came out in 1954, telling about how the great tax-exempt foundations were financing communism and socialism and the United Nations and doing everything they could to undermine America. They were primarily responsible for bringing communism to China. Why? Because they wanted to undercut the nationalist Chinese. They didn't want the Chinese people to be free. They wanted them to live under a totalitarian regime so that they would never be able to effectively challenge the United States until the time would come in the course of history when we would begin to transfer our technology to communist China in preparation for the Third World War. Well, it's a fascinating report. Charlotte, how can people get the things that you have posted up there on the Internet?
Well, they have to go to... It's my secondary website. It's a wonderful website. It's called AmericanDeception.com. And my son is the one who handles it and has done all the laborious work scanning in all these very ancient documents. This is primary research that's on that particular website. And what Dr. Stan is talking about, that 3,000-page report on the tax-exempt foundations, the investigation by Congress, was not available up until now. I mean, I believe there was only one copy or two copies left in the United States because the foundations, after the investigation was abruptly terminated for obvious reasons, they bought up all the copies, so they scooped it all up. So when I found out about one remaining copy, I bought it. And it had always bothered me that this information hadn't been made public for the American people to have the information of how we basically have lost our country. A great deal of it deals with how they targeted the American education system. But my major reason, I think, for wanting this up there was the major one, is for the American people to know. But also, I had known Norman Dodd, and he was a great American, and I felt that all the work he did, what he went through, they threatened to kill him. He was the investigator for the research director of the investigation.
The Reese
and,
Committee, right.
I felt that it was something that had to be done in his memory. And so we got it up there, and it's an extraordinary document, it's the Dodd and Reese Committee hearings. And please, folks, go there. You're going to spend a lot of time there. The other thing is that you can get that. If you have to download the documents, some of them are very lengthy, like the 3,000-page one, and it does take time to download. And if you don't want to spend all the time downloading, you can just, the address is there, you can donate $50 to American Deception, and you will get a disc with all of the entries downloaded for you. Just a DVD for $50, 3,000-page thing of the just Reese Committee, but about 90,000 pages of research are on that one DVD disc that you can get for a donation of $50 by sending just a check or going on at that website. You can pay, and it's the most extraordinary gift, basically. What is it? It's a donation, and because we appreciate the donations, my son is making this extraordinary DVD available at that price.
And I think it's probably one of the best investments you'll ever make. You have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, we have a fifth column in this country. We have traitors and subversives working at the highest level of our government in the gate tax-exempt foundations. For instance, these people usually provide us with the people like the Secretary of State, Dean Rusk, came from the Rockefeller Foundation and returned to the Rockefeller Foundation after he had presided over the Vietnam War.
Right.
And then, of course, McGeorge Bundy, who was the National Security Advisor at that time, went on to become the president of the Ford Foundation. These subversives and traitors are working at the highest levels of our government. They all tie into the great tax-exempt foundations, and their goal is the destruction of the sovereignty of the United States.
Right.
And no one ever wants to call these people what they are. They are traitors, because they want to change our form of government without letting the American people know what's going on, not try to amend our Constitution, but simply to do this by stealth and deception and dishonesty. And these people hate America. There really are people at the highest level of our government who hate this country, who want to do away with our sovereignty and merge us into a one-world government. It's about time the American people had the courage to stand up, because you either stand up now and be counted, or they're just simply going to be counted out.
Well, they will be counted out, and the tragedy is that they may not be the ones to have the effect. They may be gone, but their children and grandchildren are not going to have the world that they grew up in. Their children and grandchildren are going to be living under a totalitarian regime. And I know they're, not your listeners, but Americans out there, they are just in la-la land. If you say that to them, they do not understand what you are talking about. But the problem is that this is history is repeating itself, and it always does. And right now, we can refer to Nazi Germany when the Germans didn't want to listen, right? They were good people. The Germans, many of them were very good people. They knew what was going on. They just didn't do anything. And that's why they ended up with Hitler. And, of course, Hitler was supported by the right and the left and by the foundations in this country, the industrialists. And another thing many Americans don't know, I mean, your Dr. Stan knows all about that, but still, Hitler's Hitler, bad, no matter who funded him, he's bad. But how many people know, for instance, that he was funded by the German system, the Nazi system was funded by some of these very, very important industrialists and
like Henry Ford.
Family
like,
as
like
well.
Like Henry Ford. And
yes.
Never forget, Henry Ford not only funded Adolf Hitler, he funded the communists. He built the motor plant at Gorky in Russia, where and they were still building trucks there during the Vietnam War and using Ford motor trucks to carry the supplies down the Ho Chi Minh Trail that were used to kill American boys. And that's all covered in my interview with Professor Sutton, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. If you haven't seen that DVD and need to get it, The Best Enemies Money Can Buy. Also in the pamphlet we put forward and we make available, it's entitled The Communist Capitalist Alliance. And you need to get the information. It's there. And if you don't understand the past, why, you're condemned to repeat it. So said George Santayana. He's absolutely right. So our telephone number, if you'd like to call us, 1-800-259-5791. 1-800-259-5791. But believe me, we have the information. You can get that on Charlotte's website. The entire text of the Reese Committee report, if you want a brief summary of that, we carry a book called Foundations, Their Power and Influence, which I reprinted at my own expense after getting the manuscript from a gentleman who had been keeping this in print. And we've kept this in print for almost a decade. Foundations, Their Power and Influence is a vitally important book. And we need you need to get this information and begin letting people understand about the treason in Washington, D.C. that involves the leaders of both political parties, and the last thing they want is for the American people to know what's really going on.
That's exactly why they don't want Ron Paul. They don't want anybody who tells the truth as he does. He understands that both parties are controlled at the top by the same people. I mean, it's obvious, isn't it? I mean, we would be out of Iraq by now if that were not the case, because the Democrats do not speak very favorably of President Bush. They're supposed not to like him at all. Well, then why are we still in Iraq?
Because
unless they're both the same. Both parties at the top.
And I think it's so funny, Charlotte, the American people voted for the Democrats in the last election because they wanted to get out of the war. And what did the Democrats do? They continued George Bush's policy. And they didn't have to. They had the majority in the Senate.
That's right. They had
the majority in the House of Representatives. All they had to do was just stop funding the war. Oh, we couldn't do that. Our soldiers would be over there with no bullets in their guns getting gunned down. No, you wouldn't. You'd pull them out because they wouldn't have any munitions to fight with. You wouldn't leave your soldiers there to get gunned down, would you? You'd pull them out. Well, there'd be bloodshed. There'd be chaos if we pulled out. Ladies and gentlemen, there's chaos and bloodshed now. And the only reason anything's any better.
We have created a total disaster in that country, and I'm not making excuses for Saddam Hussein, but I'll tell you one thing. We've killed a lot more people in Iraq than he ever could have dreamed of killing.
Right.
And his country, because he was a dictator, and I think he had pretty intelligent people, the Iraqis aren't stupid. They're highly educated people. They had an incredibly fine infrastructure. They had good schools and hospitals and roads. And the country was probably number one infrastructure-wise in the Middle East. And we went in there and, okay, get rid of Saddam Hussein, but do we have to destroy the whole country?
Well, I think what people have really missed, Charlotte, is the fact that Saddam Hussein started out in the 1950s working for the CIA as an assassin. We have books written 15 years ago that tell that story.
Yes.
And certainly we know that all during the 1980s, Saddam was financed and supported and given military intelligence by the American government. Anybody who wants to verify that, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, and ask for the article, When an Ally Becomes an Enemy. It's an article in the Washington Post, but it's excellent. When an Ally Becomes an Enemy. But the question is then, you know, why didn't the Iraqi people overthrow him? And the trouble is, they repeatedly tried. We carry a book written by a CIA agent named Robert Byrd, and that book, See No Evil, tells on two occasions the Iraqi military tried to overthrow Saddam Hussein in the 1990s, and both times they were betrayed by the American State Department, and the officers, their families were arrested and tortured to death. Thanks to the American State Department, which kept Saddam Hussein in power, wanting that because they wanted this war. Understand its long-range planning. The book again, See No Evil by Robert Baer, the article from the Washington Post, when an ally becomes an enemy. They're both available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. And until you put people into the things into their clear perspective, you can't understand what's going on. The other side, you know, makes all sorts of excuses for our going in there. It was totally unnecessary. In fact, if you read my newsletters, you'll find that Saddam Hussein had offered to leave Iraq before the American invasion.
Yeah.
The Iraqi government had offered to let the American troops come in. Just come right on in, send your troops in, we'll have our free elections, you supervise them. But you've never heard that. And
no.
Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Brian Williams and the others, get my articles in Radio Liberty. Pull down the articles from August to December of last year in 2006. The story is there, it's documented. You can check it out, we have the documentation, but you're never going to hear this from the controlled media. Saddam offered to leave. The Iraqi government offered to let the Americans come in before we invaded. They didn't want this to happen. This was done intentionally and purposely by the CFR complex, and specifically by Paul Bremer, who, when he came in, dissolved the Iraqi military and dissolved the Iraqi civil service and did not call the police back in. But his greatest crime was to shut down all the industries there that were owned by the government and throw literally hundreds of thousands of people out of work. And how could they make money? Well, the way they could make money was to join in the resistance to the Americans, simply to make enough money to support their families. And where was the money coming from? Well, it was coming from our good friends in Saudi Arabia and in Pakistan and in Syria. But they're never going to tell the American people, of course, that our friends were supporting the people who were killing American soldiers over there.
That's fascinating.
Well, there's so much that goes on that's fascinating.
Well, that's very fascinating. I've got to get that. You know, I thought I knew a lot about Iraq, and I did know a bit of that, but I've got to get that book, See No Evil. And,
See No Evil be by Robert Baer. Right, we carry the book, I believe.
I need to get that from you.
Right, well, and then that article out of the Washington Post,
yep.
and then my newsletters that cover all of these things. This is why we need the help of the people out there to get this information to the American people, because they're sure not getting it from the controlled media.
No, they're, you know, it's very worrisome is hardly the word, but I think our people out there and your listeners have got to realize something. I just have slowly realized that there are a lot of good Americans, they're Republicans, and they believe they're conservative. They really believe they are. And they are being taken in by the neocons. But I can tell you, it is one example, someone I've worked with closely through the years, high regard for this individual, I still have, and this individual is doing everything possible to keep Ron Paul from getting elected, because this individual feels that if he doesn't get the nomination, he may run as an independent, and that would split the vote for the Republicans. Do you understand what I'm talking about,
sure.
Dr. Stan?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm trying to work with this particular individual to get the head straight, huh? And I'm not kidding. It's a very bright person who's been involved for years. And it's very difficult to get this particular person to understand the situation in Iraq, 9/11, anything else. And I can't understand where on earth the brainwashing has taken effect like this. How it has happened, I do not know.
Well, I believe that there's a spiritual component to this, Charlotte. I believe that many people are spiritually blinded, and they cannot see what is right before their very eyes. And until people understand the spiritual component behind everything going on today, why, so much of what's going on just doesn't make sense.
Absolutely.
When you understand this,
absolutely.
Why, you can understand...
This particular individual, I cannot believe that the spiritual component would be missing with this person, but... the individual doesn't have any problem with the fact that all these Iraqis are being killed. It feels that the terrorist threat is so overwhelming that we have to increase spending for our homeland security.
But Charlotte, what you have to do is...
On and on and on. And at one time was a very brilliant researcher and understood exactly what was going on in this country and then flip-flopped.
Well, you have to understand that within the last week, George Bush has cut in half the amount of money we're spending for, you know, anti-terrorism and for homeland security, from about $3 billion to $1.5 billion. They're cutting back on the money used to guard our ports and our airports. And why would you do that if there's a threat of terrorism? Why would you leave our border open?
The elections. Don't you feel that he's backing off on a lot of things because the Republicans don't want to be associated with him? His policies, and because they're running again for office, and they're concerned that his horrible policies are going to hurt their chances of getting reelected.
Yeah, but most of them are going to back his efforts as far as the war is concerned, and for that reason, they ought to all be voted out of office, both Republicans and Democrats.
Exactly, gone.
Amen. Well, we're out of time with Charlotte, and hope you've enjoyed our dissertation. Go to Charlotte's website, and we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program. God bless you.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon 222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Hi, Ken. It's Judy again. I just wanted to call you back and let you know how thankful Mike and I are for your working with us. You know the Sun Oven we ordered from you on KenSolar.com? It cooks all of our food and then some. Plus, we just sold the old gas barbecue. Also, the solar-powered generator reduced our electric bill just like you said it would, and it's powering my whole studio right now. We don't have to worry about our food going bad or surviving the outages anymore, either of which is huge. Well, Ken, I'll cut this one short for now, and thanks again. Go, Ken Solar.
Get the best of both worlds. Solar power for your household essentials and a backup generator all in one. Perfect for hurricane seasons. No long gas lines, no fumes, and no noise. Lower your electric bill and be prepared year-round. Complete solar kits for under $1,200. See the complete solar power generator kit at kensolar.com. Order your solar power generator from Ken's website at kensolar.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and certainly, we hope you enjoyed our conversation with Charlotte Isabey. If you want to get that book we carry, A See No Evil by Robert Baer, if you'd like that article we talked about from the Washington Post, telling exactly how we financed and Saddam Hussein, we gave him money, we gave him military equipment, we gave him intelligence all during the 1980s. Saddam Hussein, the wicked, evil Saddam Hussein, was simply an extension of the American State Department and the Central Intelligence Agency. And it's about time you begin to realize that nothing is as appears to be. If you've never seen my DVD, Iraq, The Untold Story, you need to get it. And there's a syllabus that goes with that that gives you the documentation on all of the wars of the last century, how they were all contrived. Every single one of them. The First World War was totally unnecessary. During the Second World War, where the United States and our corporations were funding Adolf Hitler. And, of course, if you've never read the book, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, we carry it, but another excellent book out of print, but you can get it still. Trading with the Enemy. Trading with the Enemy by Charles Hingham. You need to get this and understand how during the war, when American boys were dying, why the Standard Oil tankers were supplying Adolf Hitler's U-boats so that he would have the ability to sink our ships. Without oil, without diesel from Exxon, they never could have done it, and we were supplying them. You need to get the information. You need to understand, Sydney, that all during the Vietnam War, we were funding Russia, that was funding the North Vietnamese, that was funding the Viet Cong that were killing our boys. And one of the best sources of information there is a pamphlet we've written called The Communist Capitalist Alliance. That's the Communist Capitalist Alliance. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You need to get the book, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. And you need to get my interview. It's a DVD I did with Professor Sutton before he died, entitled The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. You'll see my interview with him and how we've been funding our enemies ever since. You have to understand that there's no way that the ragtag Taliban could have survived 6 years of war without funding from the Pakistani intelligence, which was funded by the Pakistani military, which was funded by the Pakistani government, which was funded by your tax dollars. We fund the enemy. You have to have enemies out there. Either the Pakistanis were funding the Taliban, and they were being funded by the Saudis, who have close working business relationship with the Bush family. All of these things should be so obvious, but nobody wants to point them out. Where do you think Al-Qaeda, where did the Al-Qaeda fighters who are killing our boys in Iraq get their funding? Well, first of all, most of the Al-Qaeda fighters come from Saudi Arabia, just like most of the terrorists. Remember 14 or 15 of the 19 terrorists that attacked us on 9/11 were Saudi Arabians? Maybe we went to war with the wrong country. Saudi Arabia is funding Islamic terrorism throughout the world today. They're funding it right here in this country, in their mosques and in our prisons. And why are we allowing it? Oh, freedom of religion. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a conspiracy against Christianity. And yet our president openly admits he prays to Allah on a regular basis. He prays to Allah because we all pray to the same God. And he goes into the Muslim mosque and he prays and he invites Muslim imams to come to the White House to pray. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a conspiracy against Christianity. We do not all pray to the same God. You need to get my material, Brotherhood of Darkness, my book. You need to get my talk on the forbidden secret. That's the forbidden secret. And the four tape or four CD set, The Secret Behind the Secret. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then pray for America. Pray for revival, but please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty. Join with us. Help us financially. Keep us so that we can bring the truth to the American people, the truth they're not going to get elsewhere.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout. Developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you that views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And right now, we're fortunate to have him here as our guest this afternoon. Dennis, thank you so very much for being with us again.
Thanks, man.
Pull down Dr. Cuddy's articles there. There must be close to 100 of them. Put them in a book, read them, but mostly check out the sources of reference. Because you have to be able to verify what is said, and Dr. Cuddy does a wonderful job with that. So you pick up the story. There.
Right now. There are several paths. One of them, the Cecil Rhodes Secret Society, and there's others, the Fabian Socialist and Skull and Bones and so on. But this one goes into a variety of mechanisms of the tools and the people that they actually use. And I try and keep the material that I use either individually. Bobby Jindal, who's a son of immigrants from India, who was recently elected governor, a Rhodes Scholar, as your listeners may or may not know, India was a very important place to Rudyard Kipling, who has swastikas on his early books, at least, a lot of his early books in the 1890s. And our Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright, and her father, Joseph Corbell, were very interested in a very strategic place. And it has historical implications. If you look at that book, The Man Who Would Be King, he's talking about, the point is that there's a history.
See it because, of course, a lot of it has to do with an emblem that was given to the man who would be king, Sean Connery,
And it was the triangle of the glorified eye that we see sitting on top of the talk on the forbidden secret. And, of course, this secret's been around for 5,000 years. It was the emblem of the ancient mystery religions. And it's so telling, of course, that Kipling included this in the story. And, of course, you'll see it in the movie. There is this emblem. And, of course, when Sean Connery wears that, all of the people there in Kashmir think that he is God. He's returned of Alexander. Why? Because he wears the mark of the ancient mystery religions. And believe me, those mystery religions are still working. They're prevalent, they're powerful, working in America and throughout the world today. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. And our special guest this afternoon is Dr. Dennis Cuddy, and he is talking about his latest article about what the power elite uses. You'll find the article at posted on newsreviews.com on the internet, newsreviews.com on the internet. But there is a power elite, and of course they control both political parties and the foundations of the corporations, and they work in concert to deceive the American people. Why? Because they want to use the wealth and the military power of the United States to bring about a one-world government. Once the we never tried to get Osama bin Laden. Why? Because he's a part of the bin Laden family that's very close to the Bush family. But we can't tell the American people that we sent our boys over there under false pretenses. But if any of you doubt that we never tried to get Osama bin Laden, all you need to do is call us. We'll send you an try to get Osama bin Laden. If we caught Osama bin Laden, how would we justify the war? Our policy is not to catch Osama bin Laden first. It's to get him last. Well, we're still waiting to try to get him. It's all a fraud, ladies and gentlemen. We can't tell the American people that this entire war has been fought under false pretenses, that we're not trying to catch Osama bin Laden, that this is simply a guise that was used to justify, first of all, the war in Afghanistan, and then the war in Iraq. And they hope to actually use it for the war with Iraq, with Iran, but now the truth has come out. Iran is not trying to build nuclear weapons. They abandoned their program in 73. The National Education Evaluation of Terrorism has come out, a report from all 16 of our intelligence agencies, which will tell you that the government has been lying to us all this time, that there is no effort on the part of the Iranians to build a nuclear weapon. At least, even if they tried to, they couldn't get it until 2010 or 2015. So apparently, hopefully, we're not going to have a war. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, our guest is Dr. Dennis Cuddy. So, Dennis, you pick the story up.
Well, can I pick it up with what you just said?
All right, fine. Of course, we have some of our listeners who don't know what I just said. But
okay.
Basically, what I just said was that they've been lying to us about the threat of Iran for all these years. Certainly Ahmadinejad, it looks like he was an actor that the CIA picked up someplace in Hoboken and took him over to Iran and got him elected there so he could make a lot of ridiculous statements. But, you know, Iran, at least according to all 16 of our intelligence agencies, for which we put out $40 billion a year, Iran is not trying to build a nuclear weapon and gave that up. And they've been telling the truth all the time, and the Bush administration and the neocons have been lying to us. Either all the intelligence agencies are lying, or the administration's been lying about the very real threat from Iran. So What I really suspect, of course, is that the power elite has given orders to George Bush to back off. They realize, of course, if we go to war with Iran, it'll bankrupt America. They need us for a little bit longer. They want to just completely destroy the value of our currency, completely negate our ability to maintain our troops in 130 nations. So the orders have come down to the Bush administration. Back off. You're not going to be allowed to attack Iran, even though you may want to. So go ahead.
That's basically what I think as well, because you can almost see the mechanism at work there. You have all this blustering, and what I thought was so fascinating is sort of the either the incompetence or, as you said, the obfuscation, or somebody's lying about whatever. Because when the National Intelligence Estimate came out, it actually came out in November, at least that's the publication date on the report, although they're just finding out about it, the public, more or less in the last few days. From these, as you said, the National Intelligence Council has about 16 of the intelligence agencies, all part of that. And what they're saying is that Iran gave up this effort back in 2003. I mean, this isn't, you know, well, we just discovered a document from 4 months ago that said this. So, you know, you either have to figure none of our 16 agencies for the last 4 years have been able to find this out, or they found it out and somebody sat on the thing. Either way, it's a disaster. I mean, if somebody knew about it for 4 years, how come they didn't tell Bush? I'm not saying they didn't. I mean, how come we're told that they didn't inform President Bush while he goes on this hype for 4 years saying, oh, it's an immediate, you know, almost imminent. We've got to do something. Let's, you know, boycott. Let's get France and everybody, you know, for 4 years we've been hearing this. And this is ever since the war with Iraq began, practically, in 2003. So ever since 2003, according to this report, all 16 intelligence agencies said, yeah, back then, you know, 4 years ago is when they gave this up, this nuclear weapons program. And so now the president gets on there and says, well, you know, if they're pursuing the knowledge, you know, that means they could in the future. Okay, well, fine. This is like deja vu all over again about the weapons of mass destruction with Saddam. Once again, if they're telling the truth, and I'm not saying they are, but if they're telling the truth, it shows a fundamental incompetency. You know, Colin Powell sitting at the U.N., my goodness, you know, 25 million gallons of chemical warhead is possible, you know, and all of this was presented as showing an imminent threat, and that's why at that time we couldn't wait. We had to go on and attack Iraq.
And that's why we had to go in there and kill probably between 500,000 and
right.
a million Iraqis. How could you justify that? Oh, shucks, oh, we just got the bad intelligence. Who was fired? Who was fired for the bad intelligence? Nobody was fired for the bad intelligence. They were all promoted. So obviously they're not being honest with us. And, you know, men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And the fact that the American people are not out in the streets, you know, demanding, of course, that the people responsible for that bad intelligence be tried and sent to prison. But, of course, nobody's tried and nobody's sent to prison. And the 500,000 to 1 million Iraqis are dead, and 2 million are living as exiles, have been forced out of their country. How do you feel about that? Men and women become accomplices as the evils they fail to oppose, and one day, either in this life or perhaps in the next, you're going to have to stand before our Lord and explain why you have been remaining silent all this time, because it's the easiest thing to do. You don't want to be controversial. You want to go along with the system. You want to be patriotic. Well, patriotism requires getting out of an unjust war and not killing innocent civilians. And yet we've done it. Go right ahead, Dennis.
Well, yeah, and it is really horrible also in the sense that I'll take Iraq first and then get back to Iran. In Iraq, there's like, even today, I think 1.5 to 2 million Iraqis displaced living in Jordan, which doesn't have that big a population anyway, and then another 1 to 1.5 million Iraqis in Syria. And the country only has a population of roughly 26 million to begin with. So
and
here
of the 1 million Christians who are there, they've almost either been killed or forced out thanks to the Christian administration in Washington, D.C. And just this last Sunday on 60 Minutes, they were talking about the plight of the Christians in Iraq, which is far worse than it was. under Saddam Hussein. But where is the our government doing something to help the Christians? Well, of course, we profess to be a Christian country and a Christian administration, but what our policies have resulted in driving the Christians out, and most of the Christians have either been killed or forced to leave Iraq. And we have to ask ourselves, if they would do that to the Christians in Iraq, what would their policies be towards the Christians in the United States, the people who are really running things behind the scenes?
Right, absolutely. And in terms of consequences, I remember at the beginning of the war, they were trying to get Saddam, and they would get the intelligence, well, he's here, and they'd bomb to smithereens someplace, and he wasn't there. And one of the places I recall was this restaurant, and they dropped a huge bomb on there. Come to find out, he wasn't there either, but they found in the rubble this little teddy bear. So obviously there's a lot of people, innocent women and children, getting blown to bits in a restaurant because of faulty intelligence, among other places. And so if one assumes that everything is as it appears to be, which I don't, but if one wants to take it at face value, they have to be really, really incompetent back then and also really, really incompetent now, which makes you wonder, you know, that Gamal Abdel Nasser that you people make complicated, stupid mistakes, not simple, stupid mistakes, which makes me wonder what you're up to, in the sense that in 2005, which was the last national intelligence estimate, and now, if you read the fine print, they don't really have any information that's different. I mean, there's, you know, a little bit, but if you watch the press conferences, you got Stephen Hadley on there, sort of, you know, half smiling in an embarrassed smile, saying, "Well, you know, in 2005, we sort of thought that maybe they were, and so, you know, but now we see, and you know, and they're still a threat, and blah blah." Anyway, he's trying to rationalize how, with basically not much different information from 2 years ago, they're coming out now with this report that, hey, in 2003, Iran junked its nuclear weapons program, but boy, in 2005, you know, this was like coming soon, and we had to act. So even if one does take that as truthful and at face value, you've got a bunch of dummies in our intelligence community, all 16 agencies.
And I don't believe that for a minute. I believe we've got a lot of good people in there, as well as a few very bad ones. The trouble is, like cream, the bad ones always go to the top.
Absolutely. I remember after 9/11, I was waiting for the firings, you know, silly me. And then, as you said, one after the other, I think his name was Dale Watson, was the guy who was in charge of counterterrorism with the FBI, and he had just gone, you know, a few years before and told Congress, oh, yeah, we're working together, sure. Great coordination, yeah, communication between all the agencies, Secretary of State from, you know, the National Security Advisor, who provided no security at all. She's, you know, as we said on the program before, waiting around, I guess, for Osama or somebody to call up and say, hey, Condi, you know, next Tuesday, truck bomb, the corner of 5th and Main. It's like you have to call them up and tell them. And the job in National Security Advisor to provide security is to anticipate, to come up with contingency plans, not to wait around for actionable intelligence. But the press and everybody gives her a pass, you know. So, and all of these people get, oh, sure, let's promote them. It's like that Peter principle. You rise to the level of your incompetency. But as you were saying, just like with Iraq, the sort of deja vu all over again. And so the only explanation, when there is no explanation, is that, as you said, Dr. Stan, the word has come down that we're not supposed to go after Iran right now for various reasons, you know, China, Putin, the whole bit. So anyway, back to the article. The reason I'm mentioning Bobby Jindal is parents were immigrants from India, and a recently elected governor of Louisiana, as I said, Rhodes Scott. Rudyard Kipling, the man who would be king. I remember the religious sect leader when Sean Connery comes up there. And they're about to kill him, I guess, and Michael Caine in the movie. At the time, and, you know, here we are, we're going to kill him. Then all of a sudden he sees that emblem, and the head of the religious sect says, Zanders. And Kipling was a leading member of the Rhodes Trust.
And I think what's so important to understand is there have been mystery religions around for 5,000 years. And what is their emblem? Why it's the emblem that a Sean Connery wears in the statement, you know. That emblem has been around for 5,000 to 6,000 years. These crazy conservatives think that's the emblem of the Illuminati. It's been around for 5,000 years. But he didn't tell you it was the emblem of the mystery religions. You'll go right ahead, Dennis.
Okay, and that, and if you don't read the book, but I mean, if you look at the movie, what you find is that Connery didn't just have that; he was given it to him just before he and Michael Caine start their little trek, you know, up into the Kashmir region there, northwest of India. And supposedly, the person giving it to Connery in the book represents Kipling himself. I mean, in the book, and the movie is not named Kipling, but supposedly that's the, you know, the figure, the personality who is giving this to him. It's not just by accident. I mean, the guy doesn't just, you know, fumble around in some box and say, hey, this looks nice, let's give it to Sean before he goes up there. There's a specific purpose so that the message from the author, who is Kipling, is that this fellow, Connery, is being given this in advance for a specific purpose because the guy giving it to him knows where he's going and what it will mean when he gets there.
And, of course, the other thing about this story and the movie is that they're Masons. They're all Masons. They're all
right.
Brother Masons. And, of course, Masonry is the modern-day manifestation of the ancient mystery religions. Most Masons don't know that. But Albert Pike tells that in his book. Morals and Dogma, written in 1871 or 1872. Masonry is the modern-day manifestation of the mystery religions, and in the story of the man who would be king in the movie, of course, this emblem of the ancient mystery religions and modern-day Masonry is given to Sean Connery as he travels then up into Kashmir, where he wants to establish his own kingdom, exactly as Alexander the Great had done.
That's right, and not only did Pike in 1871 write Morals and Dogma, a lot of people say, oh yeah, that was one book, big deal, but he would go on with that. And so these things, these symbols flowed from that, and of course both in the 1871 Morals and Dogma and in this Indo-Aryan Deities of 1872, he praises Lucifer in both. So this is no accident, you know, that he's talking about Lucifer and the Aryans. And I mean, if you look at the index of these books, it's just like full. I mean, there's like a whole page of notation of Aryan this and Aryan that. And so it goes back to these to the mystery religions and Solon, you know, and then Plato and Francis Bacon. We've been through that in the previous program. So anyway, Rudyard Kipling is perfectly familiar with all of this stuff. And he's a member of the Rhodes Trust. And so this is very, very important to these people to have these Rhodes scholars of this type. I'm not saying they go out looking for somebody from India, but it's very important that they have individuals who are from a cross-section who they can groom and mold and who have certain globalist characteristics that will be very useful to them in this pursuit of their world socialist government, ultimately.
And men like Bill Clinton, the husband of Hillary Clinton, who's running for the presidency. Bill Clinton was a Rhodes Scholar, and he knows about all of these things. He's part of this whole globalist movement and this effort to use the military and financial power of the United States to bring about this world government under this group of elitists, which was what Cecil Rhodes advocated. But the average American is never allowed to understand these things. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, go right ahead, Dr. Cuddy, and develop these ideas.
Okay, and as you were saying about the Masons, of course, Cecil Rhodes himself was a Mason, and his mentor, John Ruskin, had a swastika on his gravestone, just like Rudyard Kipling had on his earlier books. And all of this, you know, predates Hitler, so it's not like, you know, they're Nazis. The Nazis actually got their information and their ideas, and Hitler was supposedly had a copy of Madame Blavatsky's Secret Doctrine book by his bedside. So Hitler got his, of course, if anybody cared to look at it, is why would you want to be or have a scholarship named for someone, and I mentioned this at the first of the article, that's named after a man who literally paid blacks, this is in South Africa now, Zimbabwe, Rhodesia, extremely little, almost subsistence, to extricate under really horrible conditions his gold and diamonds for him. I mean, basically, it's almost a slavery, right? And so here you have a scholarship, and everybody's like, ooh, wow, you know, a Rhodes Scholar. Well, you know, what's the first question? And who's this name for? Cecil Rhodes, who practically used slaves, black slaves, for his labor, and you want a scholarship named after him? But anyway, it shows you how they can shape and mold opinion and use the press and media to present an image which they want. And so we've mentioned in the past about Cecil Rhodes' plan for a world government. And the next thing I'd point out is H.G. Wells in his 1933 book called The Shape of Things to Come. He's also talking, because he's in with this crowd. He's, you know, he was a Fabian socialist. He left them in that Fabian window, but he's down there thumbing his nose in the bottom left corner. Not because he disagrees with him, but because he says, to heck with this secret stuff. Let's come out in the open. So he wrote The Open Conspiracy Blueprint for World Revolution in the 1928. Then he follows it up with this Shape of Things to Come about this future world government. And what does he say? It will come out of Basra, Iraq, a conference there, a world conference. Now, he could have chosen anywhere, you know. I mean, he could have chosen Bucharest or someplace. But no, it's Basra, Iraq, of all places. And Wells knows these things in advance, because in this 33 book, he's also talking about the Second World War is going to happen in about 6 years, coming out of a German-Polish dispute. I mean, lo and behold, he didn't say 15 years, he didn't say 2 years, he says about 6 years, 1939, pretty accurate. And so here he is talking about in the future, 50 or so years from now, at their third try, coming out of a conference at Basra, Iraq, you're going to have this, he called it the world state at the time. He revised that in 1939 into the New World Order, which he gave the title of the book. First he called it the New Republic, back in 1901, in his book Anticipations.
And in fact, he basically said that the third try at New World Order would come out of this conference in Basra,
right.
I think it was about 1988. So everything is planned ahead of time, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing is left to chance. The book we're quoting is called The Shape of Things to Come. It was written in 1933 by H.G. Wells, who was an important part of this occult world movement to bring about a new world order, a new world religion, and, of course, with a new world leader, because Wells and all the others hated Christianity, and they hated Judaism, and they believed that they were going to make a new world, because I believe that they were energized by dark and sinister spiritual forces.
Yeah, and like we said before, when things don't make sense, look for another reason, like I always say, look for how something fits into the power elite's plan. For example, if you take Iraq, why logically would one remain in a country? We've been there longer than World War II now, over 4 years, which, according to ABC News reporter Terry McCarthy, they had a poll, a survey back in March 14th, and they surveyed the Iraqis, and over half of them think it's all right to attack U.S. soldiers. Now, why would you spend over 4 years in a country defending a people over half of whom think it's okay to kill you? I mean, why would you, logically, you wouldn't do that. So there has to be some other reason for us to be there. And that's when you start looking for the power elite's motive and their agenda. And so What I do next is, I try to provide some new information in these, not necessarily contemporary new, but new fitting together this puzzle, as it were. And so the next thing I mention is how the power elite's influence in this nation goes back to the founding of the nation. And so in case your listeners want to check it out, I give the specifics. I say on page 492 of Volume 1 of the Revolutionary Diplomatic Correspondence of the U.S., you'll find something very interesting, which we'll pick up after the break.
All right, fine. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Dr. Dennis Cuddy. What you must understand is that when you went to school, you did not learn the true history. You learned what they wanted you to believe. When you watch the news today, or certainly watch our radio programs and television programs, you're getting not the truth, but the reality that they want you to accept. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Dennis Cuddy, and he's simply talking about something that was written many, many years ago that gives you some idea of the background of some of the people involved in the Revolution, the American Revolution, and the establishment of the United States. And certainly one of the more sinister people at that time was named Benjamin Franklin. Now, certainly most people think he's a great American hero. Well, he was a great intellect. He was a brilliant individual, but he hated Christianity, and he had a different worldview. And he was part of this Illuminati, this movement, this world revolutionary movement, which was prevalent at the time of the American Revolution and at the time of the French Revolution. And he was totally sympathetic with the French Revolution and their effort to destroy all existing government and all existing religion. So you go ahead and pick up the story there.
Yeah, there's often the picture of Franklin is presented as very, you know, true blue and patriotic and so on. Occasionally they'll get into a little dirt on him, like he fathered over about 26 children when he was over in France. He was the, promiscuous old man over there. But rarely, if ever, do they get into the background which involves the occultic nature at the time. In the late 1700s, of course, he was the one who initiated Voltaire, as though Voltaire needed anything more weird than he was already into. He initiated him into the Nine Muses Lodge, but way back. I mean, even way before that, you had the occultic people coming over, descendants, philosophically, of Jacob Bohm in 1690 in the Pietist area, and they brought over a lot of occultic things at that time. And right after that, in Pennsylvania, little Ben Franklin was born and growing up. He's a very inquisitive sort of fellow. And so he was perfectly familiar with various philosophical aspects. A lot of them were, in general. You know, that was the thing to do then, major in philosophy and so on, as well as law and as well as the ministry. Some of them would go on to become preachers. But it was the well-versed person. They had a wide range of knowledge at the time, and so Ben Franklin was perfectly familiar with these things. And so what I put down here is something that most people are not aware of, and that's if you look at something, a book, it's called The Revolutionary Diplomatic Correspondence of the United States.
And I want you to hang on to that because we're going to have to bring our other stations back on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dennis was simply saying and giving us a quotation for a book that was written. When was this book actually written?
Well, there's two points there. The collection was edited by Dr. Francis Wharton and promulgated by Congress, both houses, on August 13, 1888. However, that's when it came out. What it was about the diplomatic correspondence of the U.S. during the Revolution. So what it's based on is revolutionary documents, even though they didn't compile it and bring it out in a published form for 100 years.
Okay, so what did we learn from that?
Okay, well, what we learned from that, and this Dr. Francis Wharton is writing a long introduction and talking about the documents that are to come in the book. It's a multi-volume book. And he says this is one passage which I'm quoting, which will give you an understanding of the times and Franklin's role in this. This is back in the 1880s, about the late 1700s, and when Ben Franklin is over in France. And this is what you find. Quote, "No sovereign in Europe was watched with greater interest or regard as wielding a more supreme authority than was Benjamin Franklin by English politicians." Now remember that, no sovereign, monarch, no nothing, Franklin. They're watching Franklin. "Was watched with greater interest or regard as wielding a more supreme authority than was Benjamin Franklin by English politicians as the American Revolutionary War progressed," as it's going along here, right, late 1770s. "As far as his personal relations, his past is to be considered. He undoubtedly had been much flattered in France and pleasantly accepted the courtesies which were part of this flattery. But this flattery, it must be remembered, came not from the government, not from the French government, but rather from philosophical Illuminati," and it goes on, end quote. And the Illuminati actually in this document is in italics, so it's emphasizing this particular element at that time, which we recognize as the Illuminati, which at that time was dispersing throughout Europe. That was their goal. They were founded in 1776, just as the American Revolutionary War is beginning. And they're dispersing. They're not just sticking in Bavaria. They were already spreading out, becoming tutors to Alexander the First in Russia and so forth. And so what they're saying is, this is who was flattering and whom Benjamin Franklin was associating with. And so this gives you an idea of the type of contacts that he had, the people he was involved with, and their participation with the French Revolution. At the same time, they're preparing the American Revolution at the same time that they're preparing for the French Revolution, largely based on these principles, which were the opposite of the American Revolution, which are biblical principles, individuality, and the French Revolution is totally different. So anyway, today I move on from this historical reference to today, and I say two of the power elite's control mechanisms are hype. They hype things. And as I said at the beginning of the program, for 4 years now, we've hyped, Iran, watch out for Iran. That's the big threat. We got to go, just like with Iraq. We got to send the warships. We got to get the fleet over there, get the aircraft carriers, ready to strike at a moment's notice. So one of the control mechanisms is hype, and that's like George Orwell in his book 1984 warned about the quickening the tempo of human life. And the second one is that the power elite uses is the numbing, N-U-M-B-I-N-G, numbing people to violence. You hype something and you numb them to the violence which is to come. That's whether you're talking about Iraq, Iran, the future, whatever. Okay, so I'm giving an example here. If any of you saw the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade just a couple of weeks or so ago, November 22nd, it featured what I consider one hyped performing group after another. I mean, in the past, 30, 40 years ago, if you watched that parade, it sort of calmly went down the avenue, a nice pretty float. Occasionally, a band would play a nice Christmas song, and that would be it. But now, one float right after the other, one band right after another, was playing some sort of frenzied yelling or screaming so-called music, and, frenetically jerking themselves inside out in what I guess they would say is, so-called dance. And you say, well, that was the emphasis in New York. That's New York. That's the only place. Well, no. They also, at the same time, if any of you saw on television, the Philadelphia parade, same day, and the parade. Now, catch this for the numbing of people to violence. As that parade's going along, I'm watching, and I'm saying, well, this is not much different from the New York parade. And then all of a sudden, these hosts who are on there, very charming man and woman and another person, they're smiling and laughing it up. Because it's a festive parade, and I remember the woman. She's sitting in the middle, and she says, "Okay, and now," and she describes what's coming up. She says, "Now we're celebrating." She uses that word, a real historical pirate. And they have a display there, not there, but there's actually in Philadelphia a place where you can go and you can see the doubloons, you know, and the cannons from the ship. And it was dug up, I think it was found off of Cape Cod, and they shipped this stuff down to the Philadelphia area. And it says, so now we're going to celebrate this historical pirate, Sam Bellamy. And right after that, this musical group comes on, and they're in pirate dress, and they're yo-ho-ho, you know, and jumping around, smiling, and cheerfully singing, are you ready to party? You know, it's a one big happy time. Now, just stop for a minute. Here's this parade. Here's this host. You know, we're going to celebrate Sam Bellamy. And all the people in the crowd, yay, you know, and they're cheering, and all the Philadelphians are there, and this is a wonderful thing. Okay, stop. Just stop right there. Let's have a little, you know, historical perspective. What they're doing. This is not, you know, Long John Silver from some fictional book. This isn't, you know, Tinkerbell and some Disney character with Peter Pan. They were actually celebrating a real pirate. Now, this fellow, if you look him up, he captured over 500 ships. He died when he was only like 29. So, I mean, he's, you know, whacking a ship a week there. And you remember what pirates actually do. They, you know, attach ropes and they, you know, swing themselves over there. They've got the swords and they're cutting people open and they're stealing everything they have. And here these people are saying, we're going to celebrate this. Why would you do that? Unless you've been actually numbed to violence. And so here they are, the people of Philadelphia applauding. Probably a lot of people at home thought this was just a, you know, fun type of thing. To me, I looked at someone and I said, do you understand what they're doing here? They're celebrating this horrible, horrible, brutal murderer. Why would you do that unless you've really, as a population, become sort of sick? And I'm afraid that's where we've come. We have been so numbed to these things that we are actually conditioned to be able to suspend judgment and celebrate some ruthless barbarian.
Well, of course, Dennis, you know so much of television is violence, and so many of the programs we have, you know, and they're always taking you into the morgue, and you see this person cut open, this dead person. Well, there's a tremendous emphasis on death and violence, and of
right.
course, all this is being programmed into our minds and into the minds of our children and our grandchildren. So that nothing really offends them anymore. Nothing is just too horrible to see. And of course they do this lots of times with the flashing lights and, you know, going from scene to scene very, very quickly. And they're playing games with our minds. They know how to have an impact on our very soul. And the average American doesn't understand that television is not to entertain. It is to control our reality and change our perspective of the world.
Right, and as you said, you can look at that television, and one show after another has, you know, some pathologist with CSI New York or CSI Miami, and they deliberately flash some really, really horrible, grotesque, gruesome scene. And what that is, as you said, is to, well, I said, to numb the people and condition them so that they will not react negatively to a type of violence which they want us to be prepared to accept. To not react against, as one would have, say, 50 years ago. Some of the stuff they show on the television now, if they showed it 50 years ago, there'd be, you know, floods of calls to the network saying, you know, how dare you, my, you know, I abhor this, my little children are watching this, and they had nightmares, so forth and so on. But now, it's not the case. Video games, same thing. Gruesome, violent video games. It's all part of a conditioning process.
You know, when I went to medical school, why, of course, we had to watch autopsies. And most of the people got sick the first time. I can remember people actually fainting and passing out, medical students, as we saw the autopsies. But now we see them so frequently on television that we are totally numb to what they're doing and how they're conditioning us to violence and death and horror. And I fear, that, of course, that this is preparing us for things that lie in the future. Go ahead.
Right, and there's always a, as you say, a spiritual element to these things. So what I point out is that people's mental numbness can be applied to that as well. For example, recently, just a couple of weeks ago, I think, the religious leader Pat Robertson gets on the camera and he publicly endorses Rudolph Giuliani for president. Now think about that for a minute. Giuliani has taken literally anti-biblical positions, such as on abortion or homosexuality, and he's also had He's on his third marriage now, and he's been in the past anti-Second Amendment rights positions. He's supposedly a Catholic who are supposed to be against divorce. But if you look, both Catholic leaders and Episcopal leaders, a number of them recently, have proclaimed that Jesus is not the only way to heaven. And so my response to that was, well, why doesn't someone therefore ask them why anyone should become a Catholic or an Episcopalian if you can be a good Hindu or whatever and still go to heaven? Now, I thought for a minute. I said, well, if you ask them that question, they may get into some, you know, rationalization and deep philosophical discussion. So then I posed, well, while that question might not faze them, if you then ask them, well, if that's your feeling, why should anyone contribute financially to you rather than to Hindus and so forth? Maybe, you know, I doubt it, but maybe that would get their attention to relook at their own faith that Christ would be the only way to salvation. At least that's what they're supposed to think. And so then I say other mechanisms that can be used by the paralete are sound and tracking devices. And I give a couple of examples to get some new information out. American Technologies, that's the name of a corporation, they patented something called hypersound, and that can literally beam, B-E-A-M, sounds to specific people that only those individuals can hear. It's not like they just, you know, throw out a burst of sound. They can actually beam it according to those individuals' receptivity so that only that person can hear. And you say, oh, you know, that's theoretical. No, no, no. The U.S. Air Force has experimented with similar microwave devices, and they consider these things good enough to be used as possible psychological warfare tools. And also, we've talked in the past about DARPA, that's D-A-R-P-A, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. They have something similar called a sonic projector, which can perform similar functions using microwave devices to specifically hit particular individuals with sounds. So the paralete has these various tools in terms of tracking people. About a year ago, the nation of Brazil began obligating the implantation of what they call the National System of Automatic Identification of Vehicles. And what that is it's capable of identifying vehicles in the Brazilian fleet of their government. And the identification is made via these electronic plates as part of an integrated system with antennas. So they have these antennas, they have the electronic plates, and they can therefore track an individual's movements and whereabouts to specific locations by being able to track their specific vehicles. And so the last thing I mentioned in the article is that the paralete uses government leaders as well. It not only uses things as tools, but it actually uses people to move us forward towards this goal of a world socialist government. And the example I give here, as Dr. Stan was mentioning, if Hillary Clinton becomes president, what you have is this alternation of power that William Whitney of Skull and Bones came up with in the late 1800s. He said they would contribute heavily to both political parties and they alternate power between the Democrats and Republicans so that the stupid public would think they have a choice. So you'd have George Herbert Walker Bush, succeeded by Bill Clinton, succeeded by George W. Bush, succeeded by Hillary Clinton, with, of course, Bill as, you know, first husband or whatever his title is. And so this would be a Skull and Bones replaced by a Rhodes Scholar, replaced by a Skull and Bones, replaced by, in Hillary's case, she was on a Rhodes Scholar selection committee with a husband who was a Rhodes Scholar. And so you have this alternation of power. And if you look at their ultimate goal of the world socialist government, and you just look at Hillary's Hillary Care or her health care plan, it's been described in many places as socialistic. I, you know, humorously, I guess, state that if we do have this, maybe her first mental health exam can be of the people of Philadelphia who celebrated that cutthroat pirate. But anyway, as examples of what she's all about, if you pay attention and watch what she says, two examples. On June 29 of 2004, she said, quote, "We're going to take things from you," she's speaking to an audience, "on behalf of the common good," end quote. All right, that's typical socialist government. We're going to take from you, you people, these masses, and use it for our own purposes, for the common good. That's socialism. About 3 years later, on June 4th of 2007, she then announced, quote, I certainly think the free market has failed," end quote. A lot of people, a lot of Americans support free market, economic enterprise, we know this capitalism with a free market. She has pronounced, "I certainly think the free market has failed," which means she wants some sort of alternative and that would most likely be this third way, as her husband called it, which is really socialism. What they're talking about is a type of socialism.
But I think, Dennis, that these terms are confusing because the socialism, you know, you learn about Karl Marx, redistribution of the wealth. That's not what the elite want. They want to redistribute your wealth and my wealth and the wealth of everybody listening to this program, but not their wealth. What really this communism and socialism in reality is an elitist system by which you have people like Bill Clinton and Hillary and George Herbert Walker Bush and George Bush, fabulously wealthy people. After all, I mean, Bill Clinton got more money for writing his memoirs, $10 million, than the Pope did. And the Pope has 1.25 billion people but Bill Clinton got more money for writing his memoirs. Why did he get it? Why, it's simply a payoff for services rendered. And the same thing with Hillary. You know, they were dirt poor when they left the White House. They had to steal, plates and silverware and other household items from the White House, which, incidentally, most of them were never put back again. But now they're fabulously wealthy. Bill Clinton goes around the world giving talks. He gets $250,000 for a talk. But it's all payment for services rendered. People do not understand there is an elite out there that buys and sells politicians and rewards those who've been faithful with tremendous, tremendous financial prosperity. So when people begin to understand that, why so much of what goes on really tends to make sense. And when Hillary talks about socialism, she's not talking about redistributing her wealth, using her wealth and her money to help the downtrodden. She's simply talking about taking away the hard-earned savings of the average American. And this is what Marxism and communism is. There's no communism in Russia. There's no socialism in most socialist countries. It's an elitist system by which a small group of people controls the destiny of the masses. Well, Dennis, you have 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Okay. What I mean by socialism is a sort of a generic synthesis between what's proposed as the extremes of communism, Eastern communism, and Western capitalism. But as you say, what they have in mind is an elitist socialism in the sense of almost like a sort of fascism where you have, in the representation I give in my Secret Records Reveal book and in The Globalist, is the example from that 1911 cartoon where you have Marx. In the cartoon, 1911, St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Robert Minor, who was philosophically a communist himself, the cartoonist. And he has this corner on Wall Street, and there is Marx, and he has a book under his arm. And if you look at the book, it doesn't have communism on it. It has socialism. And what's happening is he's surrounded by Perkins and Carnegie and Rockefeller and J.P. Morgan, and they're saying, delighted. In other words, that's what they want. The power elite wants to use the tools of socialism to consolidate their own power by controlling politicians who will then pass rules and regulations which stymie competition so that they're able to keep their elite control over things. So it's a particular type of socialism, as you said, not what most people understand as socialism. Most people understand socialism as sort of the bunch of bureaucrats sitting around desks in government sort of managing the electricity for the benefit of all or something. It's not that. It's an elitist control of socialism which cooperates with others. I mean, the Fabian socialists, Beatrice Webb and Sidney Webb, they didn't really like these guys, Cecil Rhodes, but they worked with them because they had, you know, this ultimate goal of a socialism they wanted. They really thought very, very badly of these moneyed people because they didn't think them very intellectual. The Fabian socialists think of themselves as very intellectual. And so they didn't really care for these guys, the Cecil Block and all these people. But they would work with them. Same thing with the skull and bones types as well. And so it's an elitist control using the mechanism of socialism to consolidate their authority and to present to the public this synthesis. Well, you know, we are compromisers. We're tolerant. We want to get along. We won't want those extremes of, you know, communism over there. But on the other hand, we don't want this runaway capitalism and so forth. And so why don't we all get together and have this nice synthesis of socialism? And as I point out, nearly all of the heads of state of Europe are members of Socialist International anyway. And so you have it promoted through education. John Dewey, the father of progressive education, in 1929 said we're in for some kind of socialism. He said you may call it something else, but in his book Individualism, Old and New, you know, this is the goal, the group.
Dennis, we're out of time. Okay. God bless. Thanks very much for being with
Thanks
us.
For
Always
having.
A pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I do hope many of you enjoyed my conversation with Dr. Dennis Cuddy. If you would like to get the tape of the entire program, remember, we do talk during the commercial breaks, and you need to have the information that he brought forward today, because Dr. Cuddy is certainly one of the finest researchers we have on this subject, this move to destroy America and bring about this one world government. And this one world religion. Most people say this could never happen, and I would like to ask, why not? Sydney, what have you done, you know, to try to preserve freedom? And remember, behind all of this are powerful spiritual forces, and remember that God brings his judgment on nations that turned against him, and America has turned against God. We've had so much in the way of material benefits here and freedom, and why we take these things for granted. And yet I've lived in other countries, in third world countries, and I will tell you that the poverty that is there is almost beyond description. So let me suggest, ladies and gentlemen, you begin to understand what this is all about. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. It takes you into the background of the multiple secret societies out there with a common goal, the destruction of America. And then, of course, we have my talk on the forbidden secret. The secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years. And you need to know what it's about and understand how it fits together. You need to understand that much of what Oprah Winfrey is pushing, you know, on the world today is from the other dimension. And, of course, she is supported along with Larry King and, of course, Jim Carrey and Ellen DeGeneres, the works of a woman named Rhonda Byrne. It's called The Secret. And she has a book that's read by millions of people and a DVD that's been seen by millions of people telling you about the 5,000-year-old secret that's been passed down from generation to generation and that this is the path to great wealth and prosperity. And millions of people are following her recommendations based upon what Oprah Winfrey has said about this. Rhonda Byrne was featured twice on on Oprah Winfrey's program. Well, let me tell you that what Rhonda Byrne tells you is absolutely true. There is a path to prosperity, but you don't want to get onto this because you're tapping into supernatural forces that will lead you to eternal damnation. That's why you need to get our four-tape or four-CD set, The Secret Behind the Secret. That's The Secret Behind the Secret. And then put it into perspective, my talk on the forbidden secret that does come with a syllabus. You need to have this information. You need to understand the true nature of the battle in which we're engaged today. So we do hope that many of you go to our website of RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com, where you can see many of our DVDs free of charge. You can listen to our programs that are archived there. You can read our newsletters. They're all without charge, but quite frankly, we do need your help and support. There's the place there on the website. You can donate if you want to. But we need your help to maintain the almost 60 outlets we have every week where we're bringing the truth to the American people, a truth they're not going to get elsewhere. Our telephone number, if you're interested in the items we talked about, either the tape of today's program or my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, my talk, Forbidden Secret, the four-tape or four-CD set, The Secret Behind the Secret, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you have not yet begin to make preparations for the difficult times that lie ahead, Radio Liberty does help people get ready ready reserve food supplies, barrels for storing water, things that you're going to need. For the difficult times, the Berkey water filters are available from Radio Liberty. If you'd like a free emergency food catalog, get one, but don't put it off. The price of food is skyrocketing. Increasingly, the food is genetically modified. Other countries will not use it because it produces sterility in animals, but they're giving it to Americans. Why do you think we have so much erectile dysfunction in America? Understand, we're being poisoned by so much of what we eat today. So if you'd like an emergency food catalog, give us a call. Our number again, 1-800-544-8927, and then please pray for America and pray for revival.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.